we're going to wrap up our family style series today. And I invite you to look in your Bibles or on the screen as we read from Matthew 19, beginning at verse 23. And Jesus is here saying some tough, that may be tough to hear, stuff that kind of doesn't settle easy at first, but I hope that you'll see this is a part of family style living as kingdom followers. Matthew 19, beginning at verse 23. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Then the disciples heard this. They were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Okay, so Jesus speaks plainly that following him may include difficulty, may involve sacrifice. Well, how then do we follow when that sacrifice impacts our physical family or our family relationships? And of course, even as I say these things, some of you people are saying, no, Pastor Bruce, how can you be saying that? So we need to make sure we understand what Jesus is saying, applied in a healthy way, not in a way that misses the point of Scripture. But I would contend that much of what ails modern Christianity and the church today is the ignoring of the message that following Jesus may include sacrifice and certainly includes difficulty. So this is very important for us to understand individually as we follow Jesus and for us to apply as we live life family style. Now, after the rich man refuses to follow Jesus because, let's just be honest, he was unwilling to sacrifice his money idol. That sacrifice for him was too much. Therefore, he refused the offer of Jesus to follow him into eternal life. Then Peter here brings up the issue of sacrifice. And Peter said in reply to Jesus in this conversation about the rich man and those that would enter the kingdom by the miracle-working power of God, more about that in a minute. Peter said, "See, we have left everything." This is Matthew 19, verse 27. "We have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Notice he's asking about the issue of sacrifice. And is Peter being a little bit petty here? Perhaps. But it's interesting, Jesus doesn't rebuke him. Jesus answers him very directly about, so okay, kind of like in a kingdom kind of way, what is in it for you if sacrifice is included in the following of Jesus? It's very clear that's what Jesus is talking about. And here's what's next. Matthew chapter 19, verse 29, to see it, this is it. I know this doesn't land easy when you first hear it, but this is clearly, Jesus frames the issue of sacrifice around family. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. And so today we're going to consider this and apply it. And it's important here that we understand this reality of this heart principle of following Jesus and willingly following him, even when it includes sacrifice, even when that sacrifice may include, for one reason or another, family relationships or impact our family. And of course, passages like this can be twisted in all kinds of negative and unhealthy ways by cults and people with the wrong kind of focus. I want us to make sure we understand this needs to be lived out and applied in a healthy biblical manner. And let me just show you one slide just to remind you of what I'm talking about almost every other time we talk about family. If we just consider the importance of physical family and our responsibilities to it, and in many ways, this is where we live out following Jesus in a way that honors Jesus by doing things like honoring your father and mother. Matthew 19, verse 19, one of the earlier passages there. By doing things like loving your spouse and respecting your spouse and maintaining faithfulness in covenant marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. I'm just giving you one scripture on each of these. I can give you a whole bunch. By doing things like bringing up your children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord, our responsibility as Christian parents until our kids launch into adulthood. By doing things like providing for your family. 1 Timothy 5, 8 says that if you don't provide for your family, you've denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. By doing things like managing your family. In fact, in biblical terms, 1 Timothy 3, 4, and 5, if you want to look for somebody who's going to be a potential leader, first you need to see somebody who does a good job with family. If they don't do a good job with family, they don't qualify. So that tells us how much God values living out these things, the importance of our physical family, our responsibilities to our family. And yet today, we're going to take a little different tack by focusing on, okay, when it comes down to it, there are sometimes some situations where family might be impacted or family relationships might be impacted. There may be some kind of sacrifice there that's a part of following Jesus. And so we need to understand this rightly, biblically, and apply it in a healthy way. And that's where we're going today. I remind you, just as we've looked at, that this whole chapter in the Bible is about family and following Jesus. Marriage and divorce, addressed in 3 through 12. The rich ruler applies to family. That's really the heart issue. And two of the commands Jesus mentions there are about family. Jesus then talks about children in chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. And children, of course, are nurtured in family and emerge from family. And now Jesus is saying, choose me over these five family relationships. I am a higher priority. Don't let family take the idol spot. I'm in the place of Lord. And the only way to really truly bless and see the influence of Jesus spread in your family is to put Jesus first and to follow him, even when that means your family says, well, I reject you because you chose that. That sense of loyalty is here in this, and so family style, sacrifice for Jesus, and family. Let me just tell you kind of where our roadmap is today. Sometimes you're like, okay, where are we going, Pastor Bruce? We're going to talk about sacrifice for Jesus and family, the relationship of sacrifice. This is primary. This one who is worthy of every song you ever sing is worthy of every sacrifice that's God-honoring you ever made. It's the relationship with Jesus. We're going to talk more about that. Then there's the reality of sacrifice. We have to see, and just the text says very clearly there is sacrifice. There may be sacrifice. And this is part of discipleship, embracing. Yeah, okay, sometimes it's hard. Now what? Okay, where's Jesus in that? That's what we're talking about. Then there's rewards for sacrifice. This is good news. And it's not sort of works-based rewards. It's rewards in this grace-based system of God's kingdom so that even the rewards you get are flowing from the reality you lived out because of his grace. God applied it by his grace. It's all of grace. But there are, in human language, rewards for sacrifice here. We're going to see. Isn't that good? Even when it's hard,
there's something better on the other side of the hard. And then we're going to talk about response. How do we live this out and just give some suggestions for how we can respond in making sure that our priority is following Jesus and we're doing that in a healthy biblical way. This applies to all discipleship. We could take these principles and apply it to any issue. We're going to lean this application to family issues precisely because Jesus mentions family as one of those things that may be impacted when we choose to follow Jesus and do so in a way that is faithful to him. So let's talk about the relationship of sacrifice. It is following Jesus. This is about and flows from the reality of making Jesus that focus of your life. I build my life upon the foundation of you, Jesus. I will trust in you, Jesus. This is not like I'm just sort of throwing this Christianity thing on my thing. This is you. It's about you. So following Jesus is not about walking around the roads of Judea and Galilee. Following Jesus is primarily about this radical shift of relationship and allegiance. When we come to personal faith, when we're born again, it's not me, it's him. My focus is him. And so then we're walking life following Jesus, experiencing his grace, his guidance in everything, in alignment with God's word. And of course, none of us does this perfectly, but that's the aim. That's what we're always going back to. So this isn't sacrifice for the sake of sacrifice. Like, I want your life to be hard, or we're somehow standing out because we made our lives hard. No. If we're sacrificing because we're doing things that are foolish or we're being rude, and that's not what Jesus is about. This is about sacrifice that comes when we faithfully follow Jesus. We're saying, okay, Jesus, it's you. I'm going to follow you. What your word clearly says, I'm going to do. What you direct me to do, I'm going to do. And when somebody says, well, you're an idiot for doing that, well, then that may be that kind of sacrifice. Or there may be economic things, or maybe where you live things. Some of these things are clearly spelled out in the Bible, the commands of the Bible we must obey. But some of these things are a matter of God's specific leading for you. Jesus didn't tell everybody to sell everything and then come follow him. He told the rich man that, right? So that was a specific leading for that person, not a command for everyone. So please understand there's room for that. Somebody may be sacrificing to go to the other side of the world, because that's what Jesus told them to do, and somebody else may be staying here. So the relationship is what's primary. Let's look at this. And I want to lead in with Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. Just a reminder, all of this happens in the context of God's grace and God's working. This is not human-based. That's impossible. You won't be saved and you won't follow Jesus and it won't be anything good. But with God, all things are possible. It's all in the context of God's grace working then that we follow Jesus. Let's consider this. Sacrifice, both the commanded sacrifice or that sacrifice that may be particular for you, is part of following Jesus. See, we have left everything, Peter said, and followed you. Of course, in their case, that included some aspect of physically, leaving their nets and walking around Jesus. But the spiritual principle is here for all of us. Let me just give, if you're kind of having trouble, I kind of say, well, what do you mean by this commanded thing or particular thing? I'm going to give two examples of two men that I've come across in life and ministry, and what was sacrificed that to me came about because of following Jesus. A man who was working a job, a good job, got paid really well. His boss told him in this job to lie. Direct deceit is a part of his job. Boss said, do this or you lose your job. Refused to do it. Based on following Jesus, refused to do it. He lost his job. Lost a lot of income. Took him months to recover and get another job. Did he do the right thing? Yes. He did the right thing, right? Based on the command of Scripture. Right? So that's the kind of thing that we're talking about in terms of commands. We could talk about all kinds of particular applications, places, but when there's something clear God has said, as a believer, we must obey God rather than men. Let me give you an example of something that's more in the principle. Not direct, but I know someone personally that was working a job. I'm just using job illustrations. It applies in all kinds of things. It was a good job, paid very well. The downside of this job was, because of the expectations and the hours, had very little time to spend with his family. And growing family, very little time to spend with family. And he's a believer, and also very little time to be engaged in ministry. Basically, just occasionally show up at church, couldn't do anything else. And any time any other thing came up, small groups, serving in ministry, I just don't have time, I gotta work. This man came to the point, based on principle, there was nothing immoral about his job, it's not worth it. I want something better for my family, and I want to be engaged in church community the way Bible calls me to. And so he walked away from that job. And in walking away from that job, his income was cut in half for a couple of years. It took him a while to rebuild his career profile and his track. Now, if you ask that man today, he would say it was worth it. It was so very worth it. There's nothing immoral about the job he was doing, but based on the principle, he knew he needed to make a shift. There was sacrifice involved in following Jesus. It's all about Jesus and his glory. Look with me in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. As Jesus is kind of talking about the benefits, and we'll talk more about this in a minute. Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me. There's a description of a believer there, isn't it? Not you who have said, I hold to certain truths, but the reality of holding those truths leads to and impacts the way you relate to Jesus and the way you live your life. And so those who believe are described as those who have followed me, because it is so much about that relationship with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And the sacrifice then is sacrifice for the sake of Jesus' name. Look at Matthew 19, verse 29. I'm just trying to take you to the text. It says this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake. For my name's sake. It's about the name of Jesus. That is his reputation, the reality of that relationship, defining you and the purposes that he has, being what you want to align yourself with. Imagine you've got a friend. Let's call him Tom. If you're out there and you're named Tom, my apologies. I'm just picking a random name. And Tom is your friend. And imagine then there's a group of people that don't like Tom, something Tom stands for or does, and they're making fun of Tom. That Tom, look at what you see, silly guy, right? And you say, no, Tom is my friend. I stand behind the name of Tom. That's sort of being played out regularly, sort of the mocking of Jesus and the things of Jesus, or the redefining of what Jesus is. We'll throw Jesus' name on it, but it's not what Jesus really stood for. But when you stand for the real Jesus and what he stood for, sometimes there's like, oh, no, you're not. And then you say, no, I stand for the name of Jesus. I proudly affirm my loyalty to the person and the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Those who are sacrificing for his name's sake, embracing that which Jesus would want, even when that means at times things are more difficult for me. So this then is the priority issue for each person, each life. This is what the message is of cover to cover of the Bible. It is to love the Lord your God first, to seek Jesus first, to follow him. And this is what Jesus then is saying here. And the rich ruler was not willing to do, follow me. And we must be willing to do as his followers. You have followed, 1927, and followed me, 1928, right? Now here's what's sobering about all this. I said this last week. This is not describing some second-tier level of Christianity. Like, you got your basic Christians who get in, and then you got your others who follow, and they're willing to sacrifice. Or describing some kind of higher thing that, that some of us might do if we feel like doing it. That'd be good for us. What this is talking about, brothers and sisters, is about salvation and the reality of a real relationship with God itself. This is not workspace. This is grace space. It's all over this. But it's a reality of surrender and allegiance that says Jesus is first. And how do I know that? Remember we said last week there are six different terms here used for salvation in Jesus. In this context, have eternal life, enter the kingdom, be saved. This, which is reference to being saved, and will inherit eternal life. All in this context of following. So that relationship is primary. What's at stake here is salvation itself and the reality of that, not just the appearance or performing of some externals as that. So how then should you respond if you're like, wow, I'm not even sure I'm following like that? I would say, to paraphrase Jesus' words to the rich ruler, renounce all competing priorities and turn from all idolatry and come follow me. Acknowledge your sin. Turn to Jesus in reality. Continue to trust him in the shift of relationship and allegiance. It's all about Jesus. Don't miss what I'm saying here today. That's what's primary. Relationship. Relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's a reality, then, of sacrifice. At times, sacrifice may include financial. Jesus said so. At times, sacrifice may include family. Jesus said so. For sure, sacrifice always means not being first. That's where Jesus ended. We're going to talk about that. And I know we're swimming upstream here. I know these things can be twisted by unhealthy spiritual groups or be abused by those that would not understand the full counsel of God. I'm making sure we embrace this teaching in the whole counsel of God. And so we need to make sure we clarify what is meant and how we live this out. And just to be clear, I'm not saying blow off your family. I'm saying follow Jesus and make sure you put him first. Now, Jesus uses leaving in terms of two financial items here in this list. It's interesting. There's a sandwich. There's financial item and financial item. The beginning and the end, and the family items are in the middle. Anyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters, father, mother, or children, or lands for my name's sake will inherit the kingdom or receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Notice the financial terms here. I think there's a paradigm that's very unbiblical that says any time it's financially beneficial, it's the right call to make. Move here, move there. Take this job, take that job. If it's financially beneficial, it must be the right move to make. No, following Jesus is the right move to make. Sometimes what's financially beneficial is the wrong move to make. That's what Jesus is saying. The priority is following him, and sometimes it's going to impact those financial terms. You may be called to move somewhere that's a cheaper cost of living, or you may be called to not move somewhere that's cheaper cost of living. Maybe it's a higher cost of living, but it's where Jesus wants you. And I'm not saying you're supposed to live where it's higher cost of living. I'm saying follow Jesus. That's the priority. Follow what's clearly commanded and follow his particular leading for you as well as God directs you. And then Jesus speaks of this leaving in terms of five family relationships. And everyone who has left houses or brothers, you got a brother maybe, or sisters, you have a sister maybe, or father, but he has a father or mother if they're still living, or mother or children, interesting, don't put them in that idle spot. They're going to grow up and they're, as you're raising those kids and nurturing them, Lord, that's your job, right? But at some point, like, yeah, that's their life. You follow Jesus, hopefully they follow Jesus too, or lands for my name's sake
will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. So the reality of family relationships here is that God wants you to follow him even if your family rejects you for following him. I hope it doesn't come to that. And I'm not saying, you know, it's a great idea to blow off your family and cut them off. Always try to preserve as much as possible unless it's almost bordering on abuse. You got to put up boundaries. Keep those relationships intact. God wants you to live out the truth there and influence people there. But when it comes down to it, if sacrifice is necessary, like embrace my unbiblical theology or I'll reject you. Which is being thrown at us today by family members. I know people deal with that. What do you say? Well, I'm not going to embrace unbiblical theology. I love you, but this is what I'm going. This is what I'm choosing. Or you can't go in missions or somewhere in God's name, like God's called me. And no, you can't do that. No, I can do that. If that's what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do it. Or I've even heard of Christian families telling their young adult, your responsibility is to make a lot of money, even though they feel led to serve in ministry or mission. So the Christian family is pressuring them to not go into ministry because they say their responsibility for the family is to make a lot of money. See how this plays out? The principle, the willingness to leave, whether that's geographically or maybe relationally, emotionally, if that's what happens when we follow Jesus, we follow Jesus. Now, Jesus ends with a word, a saying, a verse, that when we hear it, we sound like, what in the world are you talking about, Jesus? It sounds like just this enigma, like Jesus says these things and nobody knows what he means. But I think if we reflect on this, we can see that what Jesus is really talking about, that always, all of us, to be in his kingdom and to be faithful followers of him means that we don't take a me-first approach. We take a Jesus way approach. We don't say, hey, the way for me to get blessing is for me to make it about me. We say the way for me to be blessed is to always make it about Jesus and be willing to take a not me-first kind of approach to living. And I would contend that this heart attitude is for all of us all the time. You're not going to be saved. You're not going to enter the kingdom if you make it for all about you. And you say, well, why would I humble myself? And you're not going to experience kingdom blessing, growth, impact, if you're making it about you. And Jesus said this, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I want you to picture, there's that long line at the RMV or the school lunchroom, right? And it's like, there's a whole bunch of people, and you know what it's like, somebody's muscling to be at the front. I'm like, hey, I'm here, I'm first. No, it's like, and that's, but Jesus saying, kind of spiritually speaking, just be okay with being the last. And what really happens spiritually speaking is this. Is like if at the RMB or the school lunch, they said, hey, all you guys in the front, you're going last. We're going to start at the end of the line, and we're going to take care of those folks first. That sense of humility, Jesus first, not about me, in a grace-based system. It's not this merit me thing. It's the Jesus first thing. And the first will be last. They won't even get eternal life, and the last, those who are willing to humble themselves, will get not only eternal life, but everything else thrown in. So make it about Jesus, and you get everything. Make it about you, and you get nothing. This is that sacrifice. That's a reality in the life of those who follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, just the previous chapter, reflects on this whole thing. Described in a different way, is about becoming like a child. This becoming childlike in status, humility, not about me, is essential for entering the kingdom. Truly, truly, I say, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom. So that's a reality. And then there's rewards. Think of this. If you've been hearing this so far, you've just kind of been cringing, like, oh man, I wish this wasn't in the Bible, but it's really a bummer. I guess it is. Then I want you to kind of shift that a little bit and say, wait a second here. Jesus is connecting this, not to like, you know, oh man, this is boring, hard, and ridiculously difficult. He's connecting this to kingdom blessings. A new kind of looking at the blessings, not blessing that says, oh, the only kind of blessing I embrace is easy. It's the blessing I embrace the things Jesus is doing in the hard. And so he promises reward, one that's mainly for the apostles, and the others are for all believers, and we need to really look at these and celebrate these and be encouraged by these. To see these as a part of what it means to follow Jesus, and to see that Jesus' grace and guidance is there for us in the midst of that as we follow him. And we're going to see as we work our way through this, there's a whole new family in view here. There's a really exciting kind of principle that's involved here related to the rewards for sacrifice. And maybe rewards isn't the best word, but Jesus frames this sacrifice around blessings that come for those who truly follow. The first relates in particular to the apostles, Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And because they're 12, you know, excluding Judas, but then we got Matthias grafted in Acts. There are 12 who is there following Jesus. And Jesus promised that there'll be a particular blessing for them in the new creation. When Jesus comes back, the Son of Man is a term of messianic glory. And when Jesus comes back and it's all done, he says, well, basically, you guys are going to be with me ruling and judging. And the reason I put that us too is there's some sense in which all believers will be a part of ruling and reigning with Christ. We could talk more about that, but this verse I think is primarily about the 12 apostles, not of course including Judas. And let's look at the second one, because the second one clearly relates to all believers. This is like, hey, this has your name on it. So when you sacrifice, whatever that is, social ridicule or something far worse, economic difficulty or something far more difficult. When that happens in your life, here's something for you. When that comes because you are faithfully following Jesus. And everyone, so it's all believers who has left for my name's sake, houses, brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands. Here it is. Here's the promise of Jesus. Don't miss this. Will receive 100-fold. Will receive 100-fold. And will inherit eternal life. Now, it's notable to me that eternal life is not spoken of as a reward primarily, but as an inheritance. If your rich uncle gave you a whole bunch of money as an inheritance, was that something you earned? No. Even if you're a good nephew, it's a gift. And so this inheritance of eternal life is a gift of the grace of God, but it comes in the context of following Jesus in difficulty, and so it is kind of framed here a bit in terms of as a reward. We'll talk a little more about that, but I want us to look at the will receive 100-fold. So I'm not brilliant at math, but just think of this. What if I said to you, hey, if you give me $10, I'm going to multiply that times 100 and give you $1,000. How many would take that deal? Okay, you must be not very good at math either then, right? Of course you'll take that deal. I mean, like, that's crazy. I give you $10, you give me $1,000, 100 times more? Well, that's what Jesus is saying here. Yeah, that sacrifice, that's nothing compared to what he gives. Compared to the blessing, compared to the encouragement, compared to the joy, compared to like, wow, I saw this person come to Jesus. Wow, I experienced the beauty of following Jesus. You know, we could go on and on. It's not primarily like, oh, the bank account. This is primarily the relationship kingdom account. Jesus saying,
There's a wonderful return on investment in those sacrifices that come with following him. And he's encouraging the disciples and us to remember that, because in difficulties, we oftentimes don't. Because in those difficult times when the world's pushing back and saying that the following Jesus thing, that's only for idiots or whatever it is, or maybe even you're just saying what the Bible says and you're being told that's totally inappropriate to say it. So remember, this is Jesus' system. Follow me and you will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. The Bible again and again encourages us to frame the difficulties of this life around the light of eternity. Right? We're being reminded of this all the time. To remember that that's forever. This is for a short time. And this eternal life that we will inherit, of course, then casts light upon how we endure these difficult times, being faithful to him and remaining joyful in him. I believe that's what Jesus is getting at as he's speaking to Peter and sharing with all of us. Now, I want us to go just to look at Mark's gospel here for a minute. Because Mark, in his parallel account, and many of you probably know that many of these accounts, each of the gospel writers or multiple gospel writers give their a summary of what happens. It's like if you and I both saw the same event, one of us would describe certain things that the other didn't describe, although both are accurately describing the event. And Mark, in the second part of this verse, says something very, very significant I want us to consider. Let's read Mark chapter 10, verse 29. Look it on your screen, and then we'll look at Mark 10, verse 30 in just a minute. Jesus said, this is Mark's version of the same thing, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father, children or lands for my sake and the gospel." Notice Mark brings out that gospel part, right? Following Jesus includes being one who seeks to advance the gospel. Then Mark says, in quoting Jesus, bringing out what is, I think, implicit in Matthew's version, it's explicit here. These spiritual relational rewards are now. I want us to see that. These spiritual relational rewards are now, not just in heaven, now. Who will receive 100-fold now? In this time. Clearly that's now. That's the reality we're living today. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecutions. Notice that. It's not easy life. There's persecutions there. But wow, is it a blessed life. 100-fold now. And in the age to come, eternal life. Now ponder for a second. Hey, wait a second. Who are these brothers, sisters, mothers, and children that are mine now? And what Jesus is doing here is casting our vision toward the spiritual family, the family of believers, the people that are also following Jesus, also the children of Jesus. And now you've got brothers and sisters in Christ. You've got spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. You're having spiritual children. You may not be having children, but you're blessing children, nurturing children, discipling children. So we're now being asked to consider that as a big part of this huge blessing we get when we follow Jesus, no matter what. This new family in Jesus is in view. Family in Jesus, which we are born again into, not born into, we are born again into by his blood, not by physical blood, and we're adopted to be his own. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 49, that verse I've shared in each of these messages, and stretching out his hand toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers." More than one TCCer has said this to me. Now, if you have a very healthy, large Christian family, you may not say this, but I hope you see they're saying something that you need to remember too. They've said this to me, "Pastor Bruce, my family, my Christian family at Trinity is more of a family to me than my family." I heard that just this week. And what that tells us is how important these relationships are. We're not just coming here, showing up, doing a worship service and checking off a box and going somewhere. No, we're in this together. In our groups, in our relationships, in our ministries, we're in this together. We're encouraging one another. We're standing with one another. We're saying, you got something hard, I'm with you in that hard. So family is, yes, physical family. Live out those responsibilities. But family is also spiritual family. Jesus' family. And this is what Jesus has in view here. And that's what family style is. So what's our response today? How do we apply this in our families and TCC family? I just want to remind us, following Jesus includes sacrifice. And there's an amazing promise attached to that sacrifice. This then influences how we live, how we relate as families to our families, as a spiritual family. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold. And will inherit eternal life. This gives us that ability, as God is working by his grace, to press on. This is a reminder that Jesus is not just saving us, dying on the cross, rising from death. Jesus is in it with us. He's saying, like, yeah, when you're out there struggling, suffering, enduring, sacrificing, I'm there blessing, guiding, enabling, and bringing you all the way home. So let's consider a handful of applications. I'm just throwing out ideas that come to my mind. One is that follow me includes that response of faith in receiving the gospel. I think sometimes we've given a false gospel that said basically, well, just kind of say yes to that Jesus died on my cross, and then on the cross, and then you don't have to do anything. Well, that's not the shift of relationship. Jesus saying this response to the gospel and receiving the gospel is following. If you've never chosen that shift, today's the day you can choose that shift. Make your life about Jesus. Trust Jesus. Acknowledge like a child your need for Jesus and his finished work on the cross. And then follow. And following then should be in our discipleship. And particularly I'm thinking with children. Don't just tell them, okay, believe this stuff. No, believe this stuff. And when you believe this stuff, you follow. We got to make sure that this is clearly communicated as we're discipling our families and partnering together in the discipleship of children and in the discipleship of adults. And I guess I want to go after each one of our hearts and just say, hey, if it comes down to it, am I willing? Am I willing? Yeah, that's going to be hard. But Jesus, if that's what you call me to, if that's what you command me to, yes, I'm willing. Settle that one now. Because if you don't, when those issues come up, you're going to quickly say, oh, Jesus wouldn't want me to do that. No, he does sometimes call us to do that. And that means following his commands for family. What is family? What is gender? What is sexuality? How do we live this out? And these issues, which have been for centuries, pretty much everybody agreed on, Judeo-Christian ethic, now are under attack. And so we just need to say, hey, what Jesus says is what I go with. I'm going to follow that. That's what a family is. That's what God's word says. And if that means sacrifice, so be it. That's where I stand. And following this, even if it means rejection of family. Following Jesus, even if somebody says, well, if that's the way you think, or if that's what you're going to do, I'm not going to have anything to do with you. Or maybe social ostracism, or whatever it might be. Following Jesus then. And following in sacrificial service and mission. That regularly God's word calls us, and seeking him first, that would lead us to a place where something is difficult, something is not easy. This is Christian discipleship. And yet sometimes it's sort of glossed over and like somehow pretending like, you know, there's no sacrifice in following Jesus. No, it may be difficult for you to serve. It may be difficult for you to do mission. It may be you're called to do something in serving or mission that is difficult. but that is part of what this means. And if you're sitting there saying, hey, Pastor Bruce, I agree with your saying, but I can't do it, I'm going to just push back and say, don't cop out with I can't. Because I can't, and I know you can't, but I know he can. Right? Nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19, verse 26. So think of that scripture that we saw in terms of salvation by God's grace working, which he began in us by God's grace working. Remember then that he's continuing to give us that grace to do in us what we cannot do, to do through us what we cannot do every day. As we trust him, look to him, walk with him, follow him. All things are possible with God. That's family style. That's God's kind of family style. Let me just ask us to consider in response that Jesus was here going to the cross. Didn't Jesus live this principle ultimately? Sacrifice so that we might be blessed. Sacrifice so that everything that we need for forgiveness and eternal life is secured by his finished work on the cross. And so the Lord's Supper here is an opportunity to reflect on this. And the Lord's Supper, as it's framed by Scripture, is a family meal. This is a family meal. We take this bread and take this cup as a family, those who are in Christ. So we invite each of us personally to turn to Christ as Savior and Lord, acknowledging he calls the shots. I'm a follower here. Yes, if that's you, then partake in this family meal as we break this bread and take this cup. Together we're remembering and celebrating his death for us as we share this around the Lord's table. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went to the cross for us. You did not come to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. And so we celebrate the cross provides all that is needed for our forgiveness and eternal life. And we now, in response to you, Lord, surrender to you. Say, Lord, thy will be done, and thy kingdom come. Help me to follow. We thank you, Jesus, and pray this in your name. Amen.